How are we this morning? Good, enjoying the cooler weather? Less humidity? I'm enjoying the lack of humidity that's happening, so that's good for me. Well, this morning I'm reading from Ephesians. So we've been reading through Ephesians, and I'm reading from Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 4 to 6, focusing on those today. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Well, I'm going to mention a few things this morning, and as I mention them, I want you to register with me what your reaction is to them. So you can either say yay or boo, okay? Sorry? If you're in between, then you can make up a very interesting yay boo. Okay. Pineapple on pizza.
Yay.
Oh, there's a mixture here. Okay, let's go. Pizza.
Yay.
I don't know. There seems to be a majority that like pizza. Okay. Adelaide Crows.
Yay.
Oh. Geelong Cats. Oh, get a mixture. Okay. For some of you, this might not make sense. Slytherin.
Yay.
Ooh. Harry Potter.
Yay.
Actually, I think most people were yay then. Okay. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that some of us like some things and other people like other things. We have preferences, right? But the thing is, we are really good as human beings at being divided. We're really good at it. So I think of the football, and I think of one particular football match that I went to. It was between the Adelaide Crows and the Geelong Cats. And I was sitting amongst the Adelaide supporters, being a Geelong supporter. There was a lot of bad mouthing of the Geelong Cats on that side. But then I reckon on the other side, if I went and sat over there, it would probably be the opposite. And I think about football, and I think about some of the soccer matches that perhaps we don't have here, but they have overseas, where people are rioting because their team hasn't won, or they're rioting because their team has won and they're so excited. There's a lot of division that's caused by that. And then I think of Harry Potter, and you know, some people are divided whether we should actually be reading Harry Potter. Others are divided about which house in Harry Potter you should be part of. So should it be Slytherin? Should it be Hufflepuff? I've forgotten the rest. I haven't. Yep. I'm sure you'll tell me what they are. And then I think overseas of how I was speaking with someone on the radio this week. His name was John Stewart, and he was talking about the time when he spent... when World Vision sent him over to Rwanda after a genocide happened there. So a million people died, I think he said, in about 100 days because of a genocide that happened in Rwanda. And I've seen this movie called Hotel Rwanda. And in that movie, it talks about how people were divided because of their particular race. So they're all Rwandans, but there's different groups of Rwanda, and some of them, you know, some of them are tall and their noses are a particular shape, and some of them are short and their noses are a different shape, and that's what divided them. And it's pretty crazy to think that people died because of that. People died because of a difference that they had. And then I think about a few years ago in Ireland, the division that happened between Protestants and Catholics and the violence that came out of that. There's so much division in the world we're really good at being divided. Well, has anybody seen Anne of Green Gables, the TV series? Yep. Has anybody been watching Anne with an E? Anyone seen that one? Oh, I really love that one. Well, there's a story here from one of the Anne of Green Gable novels. And I have to confess, I actually haven't read the novels. I've only watched the TV shows. So that's as far as my education goes, I know. But there's a story here from one of the novels. And in the story, it relates, it talks about a cranky old churchwoman named Aunt Atossa. At Sunday evening prayer services in Aunt Atossa's church, the members would stand and pray in turn, or share a prayer need or praise report. It happened that one of these services was led by a visiting minister, a very kind and spiritual man, but also very deaf. He would lean towards each person who stood and spoke, and he would appear to be very attentive, but he could scarcely understand a word that was said. At this service, old Aunt Atossa, who'd been storing up a trunk full of grievances and bitterness in her heart for years, finally decided to unload. After a few people stood to pray or share prayer requests, Aunt Atossa jumped to her feet and loudly raked the congregation up one side and down the other. She called out various parishioners by name and accused them of various sins. She castigated every church member with whom she had ever had a quarrel or disagreement, which was practically everyone. She ripped the lids off of several church scandals, causing several of the ladies in the surrounding pews to collapse in a swoon. "I'm so disgusted with this church," she concluded fiercely, "that after I leave tonight, I intend never to darken its door again. May God bring a fearful judgment on all of you." Then finally, out of breath and out of hateful words to say, she sat down. At the pulpit, the kindly, hard-of-hearing minister smiled benignly, nodded gently, and said in a very pious voice, "Amen." "The Lord grant our dear sister's prayer." We are fantastic at being divided. And in our church, one of the most destructive forces that we can have is conflict between one another, conflict between Christians. In Ephesians 4:3, in a verse earlier than what we read, it says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's suggesting that we don't have to work towards unity, that unity is already there. We don't have to work towards being united, but that we need to maintain the unity that is already there. I've got this quote I want to share with you, and it says, "If the church is to fulfill its calling, Christians must live in union together. We can't change the world as long as we are fragmented and divided. In our disunity, we have nothing to say to the world. Our disunity makes us weak and causes us to be a laughingstock in our society. There is power in numbers, and if we can unite all of our different factions into a single Christian force, we can influence society as we were intended to do." If we think back about that conflict that happened in Ireland between Protestants and Catholics, did they both believe in the same God? Yes. Absolutely. Division came through those small little differences that they had. And you know, there's a lot of different denominations in the church today. So if I talk about denominations, so the Salvation Army is a denomination. Catholics, they're a denomination. Protestants, they're a denomination. There's other denominations we could mention. Any suggestions? The Anglican Church, yep. Presbyterian, Baptist, Uniting, Seventh-day Adventist, so many different denominations. And we all have our differences, but we also have one thing in common, is that we believe in God and we believe in Jesus. You know, it's interesting that even in the church, there's so much diversity. There's so much that we have in common, but there's also so much difference. But we shouldn't reject the difference, but we should actually celebrate it. I wanted to share a scripture with you. I forgot to highlight it, mark the page out in my Bible, so excuse me for a moment. But it's in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And then before that, it talks about that there's one body in many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And that's the way it is with our church. We form one body through God's Spirit. You know, we haven't always behaved that way, have we? We haven't always behaved as though we were one body with one Spirit. But it's the way that we're meant to be, and it's the way that we can be. We can cross all boundaries as the church that humans have put up. The church transcends all natural distinctions as well, gathering all people into a single body without any exceptions or exclusions. No other body in the world attempts to unite people from such widely varied origins and backgrounds. It doesn't matter where we've come. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what we've done. And it's reminding me of a song. I can't remember. As long as you love me. What are the words to that song? Some of the young people? No? Maybe it's not that. It's a pretty old song, actually. I'm showing my age. But it doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what we've done. We're not divided. We're all united in Christ. But the thing is, as I was mentioning earlier, that unity is already there. We're not meant to create it. We're never told to create unity. There's a unity that exists in the church through the simple fact that the church exists. We are human beings that are incapable of producing this unity. But this unity is so essential to the life of the body. So where does the unity come from if we don't create it ourselves? The unity can only be produced by the Spirit of God. But once it's produced, it's our responsibility to maintain this unity. And we maintain it through Christ-like love. So the title of today's talk was, I'm gonna look it up just so I get it right. Yes, not union, unity. Union is a human creation. Unity is a godly thing. Unity is a spiritual godly quality. Union is an institutional worldly entity. Unity is something God produces and which we maintain. Union is something human beings construct out of their own efforts. I don't know if you've ever been with people that you don't get along with, and you're like, oh, it's just so impossible to get along with them. It just feels so impossible to be able to be in community with them. Reality is, it's not impossible. It's just, we think it's impossible because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Paul says that we need to not misunderstand the true nature of unity of the Spirit. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called with that one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Okay, how about this song? I'm going to slaughter it, I'm sorry. But it goes, the toe bone's connected to the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Does anyone heard that song before? It's been a while since I've heard that song. But it's a catchy song. It can be quite catchy. But it's actually not quite correct. You don't produce a body by combining bits of anatomy together. You don't produce a body by combining bits and pieces. A body is formed by the growth and multiplication of many cells from the one original cell. So it's not like I'm going to get a leg from over here and an arm from over there and I'll put them together and it'll be a body. Well, a leg and an arm don't make a body, but do you get the idea that it's got to be created from one original cell? A body is formed by the growth and multiplication from that one cell. The body grows cell by cell until a mature body grows. But every one of those cells share the life of that one original cell and the life of every other cell in that body. That is the secret of the body. All parts of the body share life together. And it's in the sharing of life that makes a body different from an organization. An organization derives power from the association of individuals, but a body derives its power from the sharing of life. And when I think of that and I picture it in my mind, I picture that one original cell is God, and we grow from that. We share that God life together. Impossible tasks require superhuman power. When we think of coming together in unity and we're trying to do it on our own, it feels impossible. It requires superhuman power. In Zechariah 4:6, the scriptures say, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." When we invite God's Spirit to dwell among us, and we invite God's Spirit to dwell in us, then we can experience true unity. Then the impossible becomes possible. The Spirit does not change. The passing of time does not affect it. The Spirit is constant. Even when we have our own divisions, the Spirit is still constant. It's still there. We have one body, one Spirit, one hope. And I wonder, what is that hope? What is that one hope that we would all share together? We might have some different ideas about what that is. But this is what I hope it is. This one hope we have is the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, the hope in Jesus Christ and in his power and in the promises that he has for us. Well, I wonder this morning, do you know God's Spirit? Do you know the unity that comes from God's Spirit? Because sometimes I think, you know, we are divided and we have these things that divide us and we don't get along with this person or we don't get along with that person. How can we be one body? How can we be one church when we have all these things that divide us? And I think it's really important for us to listen to the Spirit. To listen to what the Spirit's saying. I might get angry with someone and I might have this anger in my heart, but I hear the Spirit saying, let it go, be at peace. If I choose to listen to the Spirit, then I'm living in unity. If I choose to act on it on my own and then I try to rectify it myself, that's not living in the Spirit. I wonder this morning, what is it that divides you from other people? Is there a conflict that you have that divides you from other people? And if so, what's the Spirit saying about that conflict? We need to be faithful to our calling as a church, as one body. And we don't have the right as a church to chart our own course. Our purpose and goal has already been set, and our function has been determined by God. We are in this world to be one church, one body, one faith, trusting in God. Does that mean that we can worship together with others who don't share in Jesus? Don't share life in Jesus? It might be controversial, but the Bible's answer to this is yes. God commands all people everywhere to worship Him. Wherever anyone is worshiping God as supreme and not some lesser concept of Him, like an idol, then Christians can join together with such in worship. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." God calls us to be one, not to create unity by ourselves, but to trust in the Spirit to create that unity. And our power comes from sharing the life that comes from Jesus. I wonder if we can pray this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you in a world where we can be so divided that you unite us, that you call us to trust in you and that you lead the way. God, help us in the times when we try to lead the way ourselves, that you would guide us back onto the right path, that by your Spirit we would become united as one and that we would be the force that you want us to be in the world, a force for good. God, I pray this morning for those that don't share the life that comes from the Spirit, the life that comes from you, that they would be encouraged to seek you and that as a body, we would be able to share that life with them. God, we pray for those in our own lives that don't know you, those that don't yet trust in you, that we might be examples to them of what it's like to live in true community. God, we pray this morning for this church, for this community, and we ask for your Spirit to dwell within us and through us and over us. God, we give you all power and all glory because you are the one that we can trust. And so, God, this morning we ask that you would grow our church, that you would grow this body, but that you would grow it from that one cell which is you. Not from ourselves, but from you. And so, God, we just ask that your life would flow through this place, that your life would flow in us and through us and all around us. So, Father God, we just pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. It is well with my soul. You know, even when chaos is going on around us, even when there's division between us, we can trust that it is well because it's God that we trust in. It is well with my soul. I don't know if you've ever recently found yourself in a little bit of chaos or found yourself to be a little bit broken. I think it's important in those moments to recognize that God is God over all and that we can trust in Him and that He gives us peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. I wonder if you'll sing with us this morning.